We just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, that as your word goes out, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish this morning. That the name of Jesus is highly exalted in this place. And Father, we give you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory for the things that you have done, the things you are busy doing, and the amazing things that you will do for each one of us that are called by your name, these amazing things that you'll do for us in the future. So this morning we just say thank you. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, folks, we have been having a look at Paul's letter to the Galatians. And we've been having a look at this for the last 7 weeks. And so for the last 7 weeks, we have been focusing on this. There's been many things that I think has been an eye-opener for us. And now this is part 8, and it is the final message in the series. So I've titled today's message, A Manifestation of God's Grace, right? A Manifestation of God's Grace. And right throughout this letter, we have seen that Paul talks about the grace of God. What is grace? That undeserved favor, that unmerited favor that is there for each and every single one of us. And I really trust that each one of us have been able to embrace the grace of God, reach out for the grace of God. And I trust too that the grace of God will now be manifest in our lives as we reach out for it. You know, Paul taught the Galatians about this, and of course, he's taught us as well. What Paul shared with them about 2,000 years ago, we have been able to benefit from over the last few weeks as well. So, it's only by grace, first of all, that we are saved. There is no other way to receive salvation. It's God's grace plus nothing. God's grace plus absolutely nothing. We cannot add anything onto the grace of God to receive salvation. And it's also by God's grace that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are able to live fruitful lives. It's by His grace, right? That you and I are able to live fulfilled lives. Again, it's by His grace. And folks, we need to know that trying to do things in our own strength, where we do it in our own strength and we do it by our own power, it only leads us back into bondage and it only leads us back into slavery. And I trust that this thing has settled in our hearts over the last 8 weeks or so. You know why Jesus came? The reason why Jesus came, or one of the reasons why Jesus came, was to set us free. In Galatians 5 verse 1, he says, "For freedom, freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Do not put yourself under that bondage, under the rules and the regulations that other religious leaders, which we'll have a look at, try to lay on us. Jesus spoke a lot about people that would put burdens. In fact, even today we'll cover some of it. Would put burdens on other people. Folks, we don't want to put ourselves there, and let's not allow ourselves to go there. So we need to make sure that we continue, you know, to be free from the bondage of sin. We have received this freedom that we have eternal life. We're going to live for eternity in the presence of God. So because of this grace, we are not under that bondage. We've come past, we've come through, making sure that we will not be spiritually dead in terms of our eternity. And also that we are able to live out this life in the freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ purchased. He paid a high price. It was the shed blood of Jesus, and I know I've said it before, I want to say it again, not the spilt blood of Jesus. People talk about the spilt blood of Jesus, that implies it was an accident. This is no accident. Jesus came to set us free, and it was His shed blood, it was deliberate. It was no accident. So last week we actually spoke about us not using this freedom that we have to indulge the sinful nature, like many do. Well, I'm free, you know, and we start to justify kind of doing things that we shouldn't do, that we know that God would not be pleased us doing because of the freedom that we have experienced through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must not indulge the sinful nature because of this freedom. And we spoke about the sinful nature last week as well. And if you want to, you can go back onto our website. Those messages have all been loaded there. And just listen to those again. It's important that we get this message. And we also spoke about, remember, the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't get into a lot of detail last week about the fruit of the Spirit because I shared a whole message on that. It was the last message I shared in May this year on the fruits of the Spirit. So we can always go to that as well. But folks, one thing for sure, the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in each and every single one of our lives. If we are children of the Most High God. Okay? First of all, love. We need to demonstrate love. You know, if ever we try to define God, well, I suppose the best definition of God that we see in the Bible is that God is love. And we need to be representing Jesus. And that means that you and I should demonstrate love. Is that true? So that is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and we need to be so mindful of that one. Demonstrating love towards other people. The next one, fruit of the Spirit, is joy, where the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's strength in joy. The next one is peace. The Bible speaks about that peace that surpasses all understanding. Even when we are going through some sort of trial or tribulation, we might be in the midst of a storm in our lives, we can still experience that peace, no matter what's happening around us. Amen. And of course, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those things should all be evident in us. And growing, not just where it stays the same size. Fruit grows, amen? Fruit eventually becomes mature. So these things should be evident in our lives, ultimately all of them. But we are all work in progress. We're on a journey. And also we learned last week, you know, how we should actually live to love. So here's a question for us. How should that love be lived out? If we are to live to love, how should that love be lived out? Think about that for a moment. And also, at the same time, just think about how the grace of God can be and should be manifest in our own lives. So that's what I'm going to be speaking about today. Hopefully answering those two questions. The title. Who got the title? Did I share a title? The Manifestation of God's Grace. Oh, my darling. She keeps me on my toes, man. Eh? All right. So this is what we are going to be having a look at and speaking about here. And this is really how Paul concludes this letter. This is now chapter 6. And this is how he finishes his letter to the Galatians. So the question then is, how does God's grace manifest in your life and my life? And here's the answer. I believe this is the answer that Paul gave us. It is by how we deal with and how we treat others that we will see the manifestation of God's grace in our lives. It's us interacting with people. How we love others. Do you love others? I'm sure you do. How we love others. Folks, so for grace to manifest, love should be shared in all circumstances. And really, this is something, you know, if we want to focus on one thing, let's just focus on somehow being able to demonstrate the love of God towards other people. Amen. So let's see what he says today. So the first situation that Paul speaks about on how God's grace can be manifest or manifested in our lives is how we actually deal with other people. Now listen to this. This is what he speaks about. How we deal with and how we approach other people who are in sin. Interesting one. So he tells us how to do this. He tells us that it's our responsibility if there's another brother or sister, you know, that things are not going well and you know that they are in sin. The word says, he says, that we should approach them. But he tells us not only how to kind of approach them, he tells us how to do it as well. And he tells us that we need to restore that brother or restore that sister listen for this, gently. Gently. Not laying a number on people. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, so if anybody is caught in sin, whatever it is, you who are spiritual, so he's talking to each one of us sitting here today, each one of us who have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we are the spiritual ones, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Gentleness. In other words, our approach to that person should be one of gentleness. And then he says this. Watch here. He says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So we be, number one, yes, let's go and approach them. Let's address them. Let's speak about this thing and try to assist them. But be very, very careful that we don't go in there with an attitude of pride, lest you and I, or you know, we actually fall to the same thing. So the outworking here of God's grace is normally seen in difficult times. That's just the way it is. You want to see the outworking of the grace of God? It's in tough times. It's in difficult times. And when he talks here about someone being caught in sin, it means one or two things, right? The first is either the person has been caught in sin, they've been found out by someone else, or they have just been overtaken by sin and been held captive. One of those two things right there. But folks, whatever the case is, that person is in a sinful state, right? And he wants you and I to assist and address that person. And he tells us how to do it. So the question then is, how do you and I respond? Okay, when we know somebody is in a sinful state, how do we do it? How do we respond to them? Do we condemn that person? Hey, brother, you know, you little sinner, you. You little weasel. Okay? Do we compare them to ourselves because they are down there and they've been caught out and look how great I am? Is that our approach? Do we approach them like that? And of course, the answer to that is no. No, no, we don't do it like this. So we should seek to help them in terms of restoring that person, that there's a restoration that actually takes place. And we do it in a way that he tells us to do it. We do it gently when we restore a person, and we do it with love. So we are demonstrating gentleness, and we are demonstrating love. And isn't that interesting? Those are two of the fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness in love. So folks, we need to remember too the very reason why Jesus came, why God actually sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to planet Earth. And Jesus tells us why he came. He tells us in John 3 verse 17, now this is Jesus speaking, he says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but somehow we that are called by his name think that it's our job then. Well, Jesus didn't do it. Well, maybe we must go and condemn. Right? Folks, listen. There's many, many people feel condemnation laid on them by other brothers and sisters. I'll read it again. This is Jesus speaking. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came to save us. And the verse before that is John 3:16. If you go to our Facebook page, that's what you'll see at the top, John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved, he so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He loves us, folks. We need to feel that love. And he's talking about the world here. Imagine how he feels about his sons and his daughters. And that's who we are. So he made a huge sacrifice so that you and I could receive salvation. And He wants to make sure that you and I are free, that we are free from sin, any type of sin that might bind us. He wants us free. He wants to make sure that His people are restored to Him and that we are able to walk with Him. And it doesn't mean that we don't mess up from time to time, but at least we can turn around to our Heavenly Father and say, Father, hey, I really messed up. And there's a repentance that takes place, and we're able to move on. So here's another question for us. Lots of questions this morning. How do we restore a person gently? We need to know this stuff because we should be doing this stuff. True? How do we restore a person gently? Now listen, gentleness doesn't mean that we condone the sin. Is that true? So often, believers, they don't know what to say. They don't know how to handle this thing. Well, what do I do? So we say, oh, you know what? Hey there, but hey, you know what? Hey, this is no big deal, man. This sin that you're in and doing and whatever, you know, it's really no big deal. He says, yuck, you know, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Hey, man, you hear them. Hey, man, we're all sinners. Hey, don't worry, okay? A bit of sin here and a bit of sin there. Here a bit, there a bit, everywhere, you know? Old MacDonald. Folks, this is not gentle restoration. That's not restoration. That's not gentle restoration. We need to remember that confronting a person that has unconfessed sin in their lives, right? We need to remember that it is an act of love. Okay? Why is it an act of love, Dave? You know why it's an act of love? It's because that sin is actually hindering and stopping that person from having a real deep relationship with the Lord. That's why. And also, that sin is actually stopping them from having a life that is full of joy and peace and all of those things. That's why. That's why. It's an act of love. So we need to demonstrate love towards that person. We just have to demonstrate it, folks. It's a decision that we make. Just demonstrating, you know, we speak the truth. We speak the truth, but we speak the truth in love. So we help that person. That's the first thing. And we need to make sure that we help them. The first step is for them to then be aware of the sin, number one, as we address them. The next thing is that gently, with the right heart attitude, we need to help them to confess their sin. Why would you want to do that? I'll tell you why. Because 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we stand totally cleansed before the Lord right there. Isn't that amazing? So we've helped them, you know, to go that next step where they confess it to the Lord. Okay? And then we carry on assisting them as He shows us over here. We help them, you know, to kind of start relying on God the Holy Spirit, to start to trust the Holy Spirit. And we start to show them the Word of God and what the Word of God says and what the promises of God actually say. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 it says, now this is for all of us. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So in other words, the temptations that you face, hopefully don't give in to, are the same for all of us. You know, you're not different. We're not different. That's what He says. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But it goes on to say that God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation. So there's a temptation right there that maybe you're about to embrace. With the temptation, He will provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. It's like there's a temptation there, you're about to kind of maybe give into it, and God suddenly puts a fire escape right there. All you have to do is turn around and go, He's made a way for you to get out of there. And that is the case with all temptation that comes our way. He puts a fire escape, He puts a way right there for us to be able to get away. Another way we can do it. We all know James 4 verse 7. It says, submit to God. You and I, we resist the devil. Use our authority. We have to. That's the problem with the church today. We have incredible authority. We have incredible power. And we keep on saying, we're asking, and we use the word, you know, gentle Jesus must rebuke the devourer for us. When Jesus is speaking to you, he's speaking to me and saying, you rebuke the devourer. True? He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. You and I resist the devil using our authority, and he will flee from us. So folks, we've got all of these scriptures. We have got the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for you and me. That's what he's doing. He's standing in the gap for you and me, like right now. So we have to help and assist our brothers and our sisters to overcome it. Right? But also he says, be careful. You and I need to be careful and stay grounded. Make sure that we stay grounded as well, unless you and I be tempted. Okay? That's the first thing that Paul speaks about with the Galatians in the last chapter. Excuse me. The second situation that Paul speaks about in how God's grace can manifest in our lives is how we should deal with another person who has got a lot of burdens in life, right? Burdens are different to sin. They're just going through tough times. And even if you are a believer, all of us will go through tough times at some time in our lives. Is that true? Okay, so we need to be able to assist each other. We need to carry each other. We need to carry each other's burdens gladly. Let me read what he says in verse 2. He says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work or test his own actions, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Basically, what that means is that you don't start comparing yourself to somebody else right there. Right? Don't start, you know, how great I am and look where you are type of thing. We don't compare ourselves. For each will have to bear his own load. How many of you have noticed in life that there are times when there is a load to bear? When things don't run smoothly? Oh, that's, I'm amazed. I'm so excited. There's four of us. Folks, this is life. Jesus said, there will be trials and tribulations. Right? But when we make sure that he's our anchor, we will be able to go through them and we'll come through victorious on the other side in each situation. So each of us is going to have our own load to bear. Is that true? We're going to have a load to bear. But we have been equipped, and we have been equipped by God the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to bear it. And let me say this as well, that there are times when in our lives we are going to experience heavy burdens. You might have noticed that. Right, so there's two of us on that one. Some of us bear heavy burdens. Heavy, 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 difficult things, difficult times. And folks, sometimes it is really one of those burdens, or it's a burden that we are not equipped to be able to carry on our own. And this is one of the very, very reasons why God actually wants us to be in community together. This is why he calls us a body. The finger's not disconnected to the hand, and the hand's not disconnected to the knee and the elbow. How does that song go? You know that one. Okay. How does it go? Yeah, those ones. Okay. So we need to be connected. And this is one of the reasons why God wants us connected, so that we can help each other and be there for each other in difficult times and in times of needs. And let me say too that God's grace is being manifested in our lives when we are those who are gladly seeking to draw close to people that are having difficult times, that we can share the burden with them. It's like a burden shared as a burden halved. We stand with our brothers and our sisters. We pray with them. We make ourselves available to just, you know, stick with them. Now, this is very interesting what I've said right now, because those people who are under the law And I'm talking about Christians. You know, those legalistic Christians where there's rules and regulations and all of those. I'm talking Christians here. Those people do not do this. They won't do this. A legalist will not come along and carry your burden for you. You know what they'll do? And I'll give you scripture to show you. You know what they'll do? They will rather add to the load of your burden. You think you've got a problem now? Let me help you. And they will put more on you. More on you. Right? And part of the putting more on you is, you know what they do? They start to point fingers. Look at you. And look at me. Am I right? How do I know that? Folks, Jesus criticized the religious leaders of the day. He gave them stick when it came to, you know, I mean, in all areas. But when you have a look at this, you see the Pharisees were exactly like this. And this is Jesus speaking now in Matthew 23, verse 4. And this is what he says about the religious leaders. You know those, yeah, religious leaders. They, the Pharisees, tie up burdens that are heavy. So they get these burdens, they tie them up that are heavy and unbearable. And they lay them on the people's shoulders, Jesus says. But they refuse to lift a finger to remove them. That's legalism. And in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are legalists. Be wary of them. And that is why it is so important that from time to time, we have a good study on the book of, in fact, not only Galatians, others as well. But in Galatians, Paul talks a lot about these legalists and how to actually deal with them and don't allow them to interfere with you or influence you. So these legalists, these religious leaders of the day, they won't even put a finger out there, Jesus says, to help you. Why do they do that? Because it makes them look good, better. You know, if you're there, and I can push you down further and put more stuff on you, the distance between you and me makes me look better. This is what they were doing. God's grace will manifest in our lives when we assist those and we help those who are going through difficult times and who are burdened, and that we can just be a blessing to other people. Giving somebody some support, just standing with them, just being with them, helping them carry it, helping them carry that burden, whatever it might be. So I want to say to us, be willing to help others, you know, by assisting them and carrying their burdens as well. Amen? That's the second thing that he says. The third thing that Paul shares that we should be doing for God's grace to be manifest in our lives is that we should bless others, right? I was just looking for the scripture here in Galatians 6, verse 6. I want to read it. That we should share our blessings generously. Now, I was reading this and I had to smile to myself because as a pastor, there's a huge temptation in verse 6. It says, the one who is taught the word, and I guess that would be us here, is that true? Must share all good things with the one who teaches. And I guess that's me. Boy, I can come up with a... I said to Krisha, I said, should I say this? And she said, well, you know, be careful, David. Whatever you say is recorded. You know, it might come back to bite you. But basically, if you have a Lamborghini that you only use once a month on a Sunday, all right, there's another 30 days in the month that I can help you out. So, I'm only joking, eh? All right. Otherwise, I'll be in trouble. Let me read verse 6. It says, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, and here is a principle, right? This is a very important principle. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. So when you and I are sowing good things, in the due season, in due time, you will receive good things. But folks, I want to say when we are sowing bad stuff, we will reap bad stuff. And the problem is, Well, let me say it like this. If we reaped, or if we sowed bad stuff today, and we were able to reap whatever's coming tomorrow, and we see how bad it is, I can assure you we wouldn't be reaping, or we wouldn't be sowing bad stuff. But the problem is, we sow bad stuff, and we only reap it in a year or two or three, but we are going to reap it. And we don't realize what we've actually planted, what we've sown. That's what I'm saying. If we planted it today and we were able to reap tomorrow, we would be living our lives differently. That's all I'm saying. This is a very important principle as believers we need to just be mindful of. The next verse says, "For the one who sows to his flesh," in other words, the one who sows to his sinful nature, "will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good." And this is what I wanted to say earlier on. Let's just keep doing good. Let's keep on doing good. Let's keep on planting good stuff. He says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So if we're planting good stuff, we are, folks, we're going to reap the rewards, the good stuff, in due season. But remember too, it's a principle. It's like gravity. Okay? Gravity, if I'm holding something here and I drop it, I know it's going to hit the ground. This is the same sort of principle, seed time and harvest. Careful, careful. That's why in our home groups at the moment, we are doing a whole series, a discussion around the power of the tongue and the negativity. When we speak negatively, how it comes back to bite us. Just looking at Scripture. We need to be mindful of these things. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let's do good to everyone, all those people out there. But he says, man, especially to your family, your brothers and sisters, us. Right? So, question. What is it that we actually value more? And we have to be honest with ourselves. Do we value spiritual things more, or do we value material things more? Because where your heart is, that is where you are going to sow. That's as simple as that. Where is it that you and I are going to sow our seed? Are we going to put it into resources that will kind of please ourselves? Or are we going to put it into resources that are actually going to please the Lord? And basically, doing with our own resources that He blesses us with, let's just do what He calls us to do. You know, I remember talking to somebody, this was some years back, and we were talking about this thing of tithing and offering and so on. And he said to me, he says, "You know what? You don't understand my situation. You really don't know my situation. I cannot afford to tithe." And I had to say to him, "You cannot afford not to tithe." And the reason is that, you know, I mean, we know that it talks about, you know, if we're not tithing, it talks about robbing God and all of those things. But folks, when we tithe or return the tithe to the Lord, He is then able to use that to bless us. If we're not returning it to Him, He's got nothing to work with. Absolutely nothing to work with. And we need to be very mindful of this. You know, I know people go through difficult times, but even if we are really down and out, we need to make sure that at least we return to the Lord that with which He can actually work with to bless us, because He wants to bless us. But when we go against His principles, it just becomes a problem for us. All right? So, we need to have the right perspective when it comes to this, in terms of spiritual sowing and material sowing and all of those things. And also, the way we sow our resources will have an eternal impact on you, on your family, and on a whole lot of other people as well. So we need to get a kind of an eternal perspective on this particular thing. He wants to bless us, and He wants us to reap a harvest, so we can be blessed to be a blessing, to be blessed to be a blessing. And it just starts to multiply. Amen? Okay. So, we need to make sure then also that we keep the focus on the promises of God that God has actually given us. I'm nearly done. How are we doing? All right. In Galatians 6 verse 9, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And then the final way that Paul actually speaks about this grace being manifest in our own lives is this thing about boasting, right? Is there any boasting? If there's any boasting that's going on, it should be you and I boasting about the Lord. That's the boasting that we should be speaking about. Verse 11, he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. So Paul used to write these letters, and often somebody else would write it, but this part he's writing by himself. You know, he would kind of dictate it. He says, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. In other words, people that want to make a good impression outwardly, he says, who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised, these same people that are putting numbers on other people, you know, burdens on other people, he says, for those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. They want you to keep the law, and they want to put rules and regulations on you, but they will not keep the rules and regulations that they're putting on you themselves. But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me, for me to boast, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world, has been crucified to me, and I to the world. So it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we need to really crucify ourselves to this world and this world system. Now he says, for neither circumcision counts anything or uncircumcision. He says, hey, guys, listen, Galatians. Whether you're circumcised, you're not circumcised. Because remember, the religious guys were saying, it's God's grace, grace of God, plus something, plus circumcision. Then you can be saved. He says, circumcision, where you are, you're not, not. He says, there's only one thing that is important. And he says, but a new creation. The only thing that is important, not that you're circumcised or uncircumcised, that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you are a child of God, that you are born again, that you have God, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. That's all that's important. That's what he tells them. And it is for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. So, in all that we do, folks, let's just give him glory. Give him glory for those that were not, you know, not under the grace of God, you know, people that were under the law, they would go out there and they would boast. These legalists, they would actually boast. Look at me. Look how I follow the rules. Look at me. I keep all the rules, the regulations. Look at me, how I help people. Me, me, me. Look at me, how I give my money. Folks, when we, and the Bible talks about this, when we get acknowledgement from people, we have received our reward. Right? There's scripture that talks about, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when it comes to these things. Jesus tells us in John 15 verse 5, he says, for apart from me, Jesus, you can do nothing. So we ourselves can do absolutely nothing to boast about out there. If we, any boasting that needs to be done, we boast about him and what he has done, the amazing things that he has done. Eternal life, he's given you eternal life, and it's by his grace that we can boast about that. Let's boast about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, how he took your sins and my sins upon that cross. He took your sickness and my sickness upon the cross. And we give him alone all the praise, the honor and glory. Let's boast about him, not ourselves. All right, so just in closing, we have seen in the Word, and we've seen in the series over the last 8 weeks, some of the ways that God's grace should actually be manifest in our own lives. My question is, are these things evident in our lives? Are they evident in our lives? So as we continue to kind of receive this grace, you and I will start to grow closer to Him. There's no question about it. As we draw close to Him, the grace of God just continues to pour out upon us. We have this relationship with Him. Folks, here in this church, we don't like religion. Is that true? Okay, we're not religious. We like to have a relationship with our Creator, not rules and regulations. So he also said here that, remember, we need to gently be restoring others who sin. That's our responsibility. He said to us as well that we need to carry other people's responsibilities, help them, assist them. That's our responsibility, as I say. He also said that we must be generous and that we need to share. And he says also that we should be able to boast of God and not boast about ourselves. If there's any boasting to be done, we start to boast in Him, because it's all done by Him, and it's by Him, and it's by the grace of God on our own lives. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Galatians. That is Galatians now done and dusted. That was eight sessions. And let me say that even Galatians, we did it over 8 weeks. We could have done it over 24 weeks. There's just so much in there. But we skimmed through it, and I trust, folks, I really trust that we have a better understanding of the grace of God, the love of God, and especially what he says, don't allow ourselves to be put under rules and regulations and have that yoke back on our necks. Amen. Praise the Lord.